And Father, this morning we receive in your word wisdom. Wisdom for our relationships. Wisdom to walk hand in hand with you, with one another, to fulfill your plans and purposes. We ask again that you help us to gain a greater appreciation as revelation floods our mind this morning and questions are being answered, as gray areas have light shed upon them and areas that seem to be knotted together are straightened out. In your word, we ask that we will receive wisdom. Wisdom in handling our natural relationships. Wisdom in handling our supernatural relationships. To help us even in this year to have breakthrough in our relationships. In our, we preserve and we act out your plans and purposes in the lives of everyone that you've put around us, natural and spiritual. We ask this morning that every experience, every thought pattern, every opinion will be submitted to your word and your word gains ascendancy over the same. We ask this morning that just as there is no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding and reception, but all that needs to be said will be said and everything that needs to be heard, received to be walked in, will be heard, received to be walked in. We ask that today, in the days ahead of us, even our meetings, all through the week, through the year, the months of the year, we ask that your name is consistently glorified. Your name is made known, hallelujah, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So quickly, I'll continue my thoughts on relationships, walking with one another. And don't forget, when we talk about relationships, I'm not talking about marital relationships. I'm talking about human relationships. Human relationships. We've been on it for a while. And obviously, I will not conclude today. I just discovered. But I seek to continue on Thursday. Maybe conclude on Thursday or conclude on Sunday. So that we can look at Christian meetings. And that can get us prepared for, you know, our special meeting, camp meeting in the year. Praise the Lord. I mean, just in front of us. I'll talk about it on Thursday. Hallelujah. So quickly, Matthew 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. It is in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Hallelujah. All power. He didn't say hallelujah. That's my word. All right. So he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I'll talk about this text much more later on in here. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says to go and make disciples. So in 2-3 seconds, what does it mean to make disciples? We said it is to communicate God's perspective to living and to inspire men and women to live and to walk in the same. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18, we have Jesus' admonition on relationships. It is where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Where two or three people are gathered, it is there I am in the midst of them. Verse 20, and we said that gathering has to do with reconciliation. Reconciliation. Hallelujah. And then in Matthew 19, which is also one of our major texts for this teaching, he says, it came to pass in verse 1 that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause, he said, shall the man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twin shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Hallelujah. Then they said, verse 7, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put away? And he said unto them, he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and whosoever married her which is put away, don't commit adultery. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Jesus raises the standards of adultery. Raises the standard. Now quickly, is our text, are we together? Are we together? His text, the text he spoke from, which is our text, is the Genesis 1 text, right? The image of God. So we said that Jesus fixes, you know, crisis, what we call human fallout. When you have a fallout with someone, you have a fallout or crisis in relationships and associations. Jesus fixes it with the knowledge, the insights, the counsel of the image of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He fixes it with the counsel of the image of God. Are we together? So in Genesis 1:26, where Jesus spoke from, he says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Look into your Bibles. It says, so God created man in his image, own image rather. It says, in the image of God created it him. Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Then look into it. Look into your Bibles. Is there anyone who doesn't have a Bible? You don't have a Bible, can you just wave? You don't have a Bible. All right, please get him a Bible. We have an agreement on Bible. Yeah, I have it, okay? All right. So let's get him a Bible here now. Right? Who else doesn't have a Bible? You don't have a Bible. You just wave your hand. I don't have a Bible. I'm born again, but I don't have a Bible. Nobody. All right, thank you. So look at this. He says, so God created man. We're reading Genesis 1:27 now. Everybody? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Before the end of this teaching, you should be able to quote certain texts offhand. Like 5 texts at the go from different portions. You should be able to quote text from Matthew 28 now. The 3-4 verses together. You should be able to quote text from Matthew 19. You should be able to quote. And they came to Jesus and they said, if I think it's tempting. You should be able to quote all that. Down to Moses because of the hardness. You should be able to know what where a text is. What is said there. And then quote it. Genesis 1 text. You should be able to quote Genesis 1, 26 to 28 now. Quote the 3 texts. Are we together? Are we together? Right. So look at this. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, you have the word creeping thing, then you have the word living thing, and then we're going to look at those words much more later on. Hallelujah. So we said Jesus uses Genesis 1 text to answer the relationship question. And we have said quite a number of things. I'll just continue from there this morning. Hallelujah. Quickly, the Genesis 1:26 text, we have said already that they are kingdom languages. Kingdom. You see the word dominion in Genesis 1:26. Dominion. Let him have dominion. So you see God, then he says his image, then he says let him have dominion. Hallelujah. Dominion over. So these are kingdom languages used for man's activity on the earth. So we said the man which God creates, or which God will create. Which one is a better description? Or which one is a better way of putting it? The one that God creates, or the one that God will create, or the one that God will recreate? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Calamity is waiting for us. Look at swords. Creator.
create, we create, we create. Is God still creating today? Hallelujah. Look at it. How about the whole Bible actually being a promise of a future salvation? The entire Bible. Because that is what God does. Hallelujah. How about the entire Bible? A constant testimony to solidify the fact that there is salvation coming for humanity. But I thought we are saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thought we are saved. Well, yeah, we are saved. But does the Bible talk about the coming salvation? Yeah. So, but how about the entire Bible? How about the Old Testament actually repeating and re-echoing God's saving character to assure us that there is yet salvation? Definitely not from sins. Are we together? Not from sins. But how about the entire Bible? So we look at all that. Amen. So look at that. It's to show you, Genesis 1:26, that the man that God created, or let's put it definitely now, the man that God creates in his image, or created in his image, the man which God created to function in his image will function as a king. Are we together? You know we have said that, right? Right? Will function as a king. If you are listening to me this morning, ensure you are light. Are we together? Alright. So, will function as a king. The man which God has created will function as a king. Are we there? Are we there? Will function as a king. The man who God has created in his image will function as a king. And in functioning as a king, we saw already, you know, king over wealth. We said many things he's going to have dominion over, but that dominion does not include a fellow man. Thank you. All right. Does not include a fellow man. Hallelujah. Right? So don't forget, we also said that man will be a priest. Right? God created humanity to function as a priest. Right? Right? God created humanity to also function as a who? As a prophet. So man will function, the man in God's image will function as a king, God's king, which is a representative. Hence the use of the word salmon, a representative. So you will function as a representative, a king, God's king on the earth. Hallelujah. Why? He says to have dominion. In having dominion, he says in 28, he says to subdue. Hallelujah. So there are things to subdue. He's not referring to another man. There are things to subdue. We have seen that. Hallelujah. We subdue selfishness, right? Right? What do we subdue again? Don't forget that we took a turn, we had a stop by at how to protect your supernatural relationship, right? We now mention what you protect your relationships against, right? We said, now, how do I know what to protect my relationships against? The things that prayer will save me from. Because we said that the primary way of protecting your relationships is by immersing them in prayer. God's wisdom for protecting relationships is to pray, not just about circumstances, to pray for the persons. The persons. The persons. That means you take the person to prayer and go and what? Pray. Can you imagine we hold a prayer meeting? We say, oh, we're having a 6-hour prayer meeting and we are going to be praying today for everybody that has persecuted us. Are we together? You know, say, let us pray for everyone that has persecuted us, you know, at different times of our lives. Let's pray for everybody that has hurt us. Let us pray for them, and then, you know, and then we start praying. Then we say we're praying for 6 hours, or we'll pray for 4 hours or 3 hours, and we'll pray for everybody that has ever hurt us. You know, I'm not sure I will hear a lot of I think I'll be hearing because in your mind you still feel like grabbing the person's neck. Praise God. You still feel like grabbing the person's neck. Some people, after 6-7 years, you discover they have not forgiven those who hurt them. In fact, I've heard of people, I don't know such people, but I've heard of people, and if I know people, I'll tell you I know people. These ones, I don't know them. But I've heard of people who spent, look at this, I've heard of people who spent 6, 7, 8 years. If I remember vividly now, I've heard of people who spent 10 years to prepare for vengeance. Yes? 10 years to prepare for vengeance. Literally, all of those years, they were working so as to get into a capacity, whether it is to have money, you understand, or to have a position, so that they can assume the, and then look back and say, hey, I'm here now. We are back here. I've heard of people like that. And see, that is a waste of 10 years. It is wasted. The Bible said, be not angry and what? And sin. Then it says, let not the sun go down upon what? Your wrath. You know, we've interpreted the text to say that, don't go to bed angry. Who guarantees that you even get to bed? Are we together? Look at what the text is saying. When it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, is an idiomatic expression. Are we together? He's saying, don't spend a minute, are we together, keeping angry. Now, I know that sounds somehow to you. What he's saying is this. Look at this. Look at this. When he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, it means don't prolong the anger. That is, don't meditate on the things that was done to you. Because the more you think about it, the angrier you become. So he's not saying that don't go to bed. He's not saying that don't let the sun set when you are still angry. So that means that if somebody get me angry at 7 a.m., I have 12 hours. So if somebody gets me angry at 6 p.m., I have 1 hour. What if someone gets me angry at 6:59? I have 1 minute. No. He's saying don't dwell on the issue. Don't dwell on it. He's talking about how the believer should be quick to forgive. Be quick. Notice it says slow to anger, right? 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 It says slow to what? To wrath in James 1. Right? It says you are swift to what? To hear. Then it says you are slow to what? To speak. It says you are slow to wrath. Now, when he says slow to wrath, it didn't mean get angry slowly. No. Be getting angry slowly. Yeah. So, someone does something, you just say. Another time, add it to it. So you are compounding it in a cooler. Then the person does another thing, you say, you wanted to talk. You just say, and we would like it. You know, when you want to fill a container with salt and it's already filled, there's a way you can put more, right? You you just juggle the container, the salt will find their level. So that's what's happening in person said. So the anger is stirring up. He said, even the Bible says we should get angry slowly. But when we arrive there, no. When he says slow to anger, the word slow there is talking about being irresponsive, unresponsive. It's another word for dull. Is it clear? It means to be dull. You see that word. It's word brados. When he says, oh fools and slow of heart to believe. He didn't mean they were believing slowly. Is it clear? It means they didn't believe at all. Oh fools and slow of heart to believe. Why are you dull at grabbing what the scripture is saying? So he says, when it comes to anger, be dull at it. Don't get angry. Don't be the angering type. Don't say, you know I'm the angering type. That's how you marry me. No. You are a Christian. Tell your neighbor, say you're a Christian. Say, Baba, what gun my pony no fufu ni me? No, you are not living in fufu. You are in Zion. Sorry for those who come from fufu. Are we together? I'm seated at the right hand of God. Imagine. I know it's not literal. But imagine God is seated. Hallelujah. And he looks at all the chaos. Including the person that hurt you. And he's laughing. And then your head is just bloated up. And you are seated at his right hand. Now you can't see anything he's laughing at. You can't see what God is doing. You can't see what God is doing. You are just angry and muffled up. And God is not angry. But you are angry and you are sitting there at his right hand. You know, that's wrong. Or let's say you are the image of God. God is not angry and his image is angry. I am angry for him. No. Or you think God doesn't know what's happening on the earth? Glory to God forevermore. It means that there is a better response to the situation than getting angry. So Bible calls wrath and anger the works of the flesh. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. So the dominion of God is, going to be demonstrated by man, the man in his image. Hallelujah. Don't forget what we spoke about, the Psalm. Do you remember the Psalm? Do you remember the Psalm? Very good. So quickly again, let us look at the text we sought to explain last week, which I told us to do some assignments on, and a good number of us got back to me. Many of us did not get back to me, and I know you. Exodus 20. I'm not threatening you. I just said, I know you. Praise God. Okay, God knows you. Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. Are you there? In verse what? What's the verse? Verse 7, right? Okay. So let's read together Exodus 20 verse 7. Want to go? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. So remember what we said? Taking the name of the Lord in vain is not saying to mention his name. So like we said on Thursday, it doesn't mean you say Jesus. Or you say along, but God now says, who said that? Who said that thing? And then the angel said, it's you, sir. The 70th time this day, today alone? Or this is the 50th time you do this year? No. I can't take it anymore. God doesn't do that. Who must punish him? Praise God. He's not talking about mentioning the name of God in vain. You know how many people are calling on God as we are talking now? Hallelujah. And he graciously answers. You, when five people call you, yeah. Stop calling me. Praise God. Scatter it. Stop calling me. Amen. So he's not talking about plenty people, you know, or people, you know, just mentioning his name, and maybe they are distracting God from what God is doing. God is trying to mold a human being, and then, or maybe God is preparing a luggage for to answer somebody's prayer and another person's. That's not talking about. Hallelujah. We said the word to take is what word now? Nasa, right? I remember I gave us some texts. Should we go over those texts? Should we go over those texts? Alright. So, it is to not take the name of the Lord in vain. Are we together? To not take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't forget we said that the New Testament manifestation or demonstration of the psalm refers to what? Up, the body of Christ, right? The body of Christ, okay? The body of Christ, definitely in assemblies, which will be the local church. Are we together? We saw in Deuteronomy chapter 4 that God did not show them any image when he appeared to them. Rather, God told them that they themselves would be his image. So in Exodus 23, let's look at something there. Exodus 23. Alright. In Exodus 23, in verse what now? Verse 20. Look at that. It says, are we all there? Are we all there? It says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my what? My name is in him. My name is in him. So we see the use of the word name. It says, my name is in him. Now we said, why would God say my name? He didn't even say he bears, he didn't say that my name is his name. You know, my name is his name. He says, my name is in him. In that angel. So in other words, the angel bears God's name, right? 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 The angel bears his name. The angel bears his name. Now don't forget the word bear means to what? To take something up. Right? Right? It refers to a responsibility. Don't mind me, I'm very, very slow. You know, when I get into the Old Testament books, I talk like this. So it means to have a responsibility to bear someone's name. So it says the angel, it says my name is in him. Right? In Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verse 1. It says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Why didn't he say, look at this. Why did he say, the God of Jacob was defending? It is not going to be like, are you trying to sound somehow? No. The writers know exactly, and the speakers, what they are saying. So he didn't say that the God of Jacob defend thee. He didn't say that. He says the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. So that shows you that name has a connotation in the scriptures. There is what name means. Are we together? Are we together? It's a word, like I told you last week, that implies the office. The name refers to the office of someone. So it's like saying that the office of the God of Jacob defend you. What does it mean by the office of the God of Jacob? He talks about the role, the place the God of Jacob occupies. What the God of Jacob means to them is authority. So name will also refer to authority. Are we together? Are we together? Name will also refer to what? Authority. Are we together? Hold your hands there. Go to a very simple text. Go to Philippians 2 quickly. Hold your hands there. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians is just after Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. Are you in Philippians 2 now? Now I want every one of us to read from verse 5. If you are there, say amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let us read together. I want to go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? Now, look at that verse again, verse 9. He says, wherefore God had also what? Highly exalted him. And had given him what? A name. God had given him a name, which is above what? Every name. That had the name of Jesus. Whoa. Now look at it. He says, God has exalted him. Now, at what point was this exaltation that the writer is talking about? Was it pre-resurrection or post-resurrection? So we are saying, because you didn't read the text. You can't be a serious Christian if you don't read the text. The knowledge of God is written. That means you can never know God if you can't read. The knowledge of God is written. It means you can't know God. You will struggle to know Him if you can't read. That's why those who can read and write, we still have to find a way. That's why God found a way to bring His counsel to you in your language. The Bible is translated because you have to read to know. Look at Ephesians 3. Hold your hand in Philippians. Look at Ephesians 3. Hold your hands in that Philippians. Philippians. Look at Ephesians 3. Now make sure you read this one, because if you don't read this one again, read verse 1. For this cause, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, is that. Verse 2. If you are out of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given toward me. Verse 3. By revelation, He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in what? So the things of God are what? Written. Look at verse 4, everybody wants to go. Whereby when you read, you may. So if you don't read, you will know nothing. Some of you already don't read at home. So when we come into services like this, at least read. Read. And when you read corporately, it enhances your culture to now read privately. Personally, I don't take anybody serious that don't read. I don't. It means you have nothing to offer me. I don't. I don't take anybody serious that don't read. Sometimes you find people just come online just come and they are trying to pass a comment on something that maybe the government has said, and there is information somewhere and you did not read. I was listening on to news sometimes, and a guy came, a very popular, prominent guy in the offices, and he was saying a whole lot of things about the government policies. I had read the whole policy. I had read several pages. I sat down and I read it. Personally, I know that sometimes to fully understand a document personally, I discovered I have to read it like four times. I'm not a very intelligent person. I know that. I have to read like four times to really, really, okay, this is what he's saying. So I had read, I had understood. It was concerning the tax laws. And the guy was on a popular TV station and he was saying, but that's what the government said. And he said all sorts of rubbish and misrepresented the office. So he now took the newscasters to now be saying, they tackled him. He went to my shame. You could have just read. Just read. Praise God. How did you see us? A field. And I want to listen to you. And you don't read regarding that field. I will never take you serious. I won't. Ministry, you don't read your Bible. You want to teach? No. In business, you want to trade? You don't read? No. No. So you have to learn to read Bible text. Read the text. It's in English, not in Russian. Read the text. That's what you do in morning devotion. Early morning devotion. Read your Bible and pray. You will grow. We have this old time song. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. We used to say, if you follow me. But now it is, if you want to grow. Jesus was a reader. Now, by the time you read concerning, you see that he was not very lettered. That means he didn't go to formal school. But the basic thing, he learned to read. He read. Jesus was an ardent reader. Why would he say, have you not read? That means he even read more than those in Bible schools. Because those were the Pharisees of those days. They were the ones in the Bible schools. Jesus had read. He would tell someone who has graduated from Bible school, did you not read? That means he read it better than them. I told you that in his day, Jesus must have read and taught from four Bible translations. Yes, four different translations. He read and taught from them. So you have to read. You can't even be a member of this church and you don't. It's a basic thing. It's a basic identification tag. You are somebody who reads the scriptures. That's why when you walk into that door without a Bible, we should ask you, what are you here to do? It's not a cinema. You are not here to watch a movie. You come to learn of God. That means you read and you take notes and you listen. Praise God. All right. Philippians 2 now. You have to read. Open the text and read. If there's someone by you, if you don't know how to open the text, someone by you can assist you. As I say, if you open the text and you observe that the person by you is struggling to open the text, it's okay. In a very kind way, help the person to locate the text. But you have to read your Bibles in the service. Read. Children must read. Adults must read. Read your Bibles in the service. Read. It's a new year. Hallelujah. So look at that. Philippians 2, quickly. In verse 9. Now, I told you, was it pre-resurrection or post-resurrection? You have to have read to come to that knowledge. Now let's look at verse 5 again.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it no robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him. So this exaltation is post-resurrection. It was after he rose from the dead. So look at the resurrection. Look at the exaltation rather. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. So if this name, if the giving of the name, the exaltation, are you with me? The exaltation is the giving of the name. I'll read it again, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name. That is, the exaltation is the giving of a name. Right? Right? Now, notice it says that at the name of Jesus. So, the name that was given is the name of Jesus. Now, I couldn't say that God gave the name of Jesus to Jesus. You get what I'm saying? So if the exaltation is the giving of the name, what is his name before the exaltation? If the exaltation is after resurrection, and the exaltation is the giving of a name, what is the name before the resurrection? What was the name of Jesus before the resurrection? Huh? You will not be able to answer the question until you see name, not as the letters. If in your mind, name is the way what we call him, like I say, Philip. If you feel that that's the name, if that's your understanding of name, you'll not be able to answer the question. Because it is God gave him a name after the resurrection. Now, what was his name before resurrection? Because the name after the resurrection is at the name of Jesus. Now, oftentimes, when people quote that text, they usually say that at the mention of the name of Jesus, you are the one that added mention. The writer didn't say that. Check the text. The writer never said at the mention of the name of Jesus. You are the one that added that. The writer never said that. The writer simply said that at the name of Jesus. Is it clear? He didn't say at the mention of the name. He didn't say that. He didn't say that at the mention of the name of Jesus. He didn't say that. He didn't say that at the mention of the name. He didn't say that. He says that at the name of Jesus. So the question is, what is the name of Jesus? If he had said at the mention of the name of Jesus, we could have said, okay, what he's saying is that when we say Jesus, right? When we mention Jesus, the word Jesus. But he didn't say at the mention of the name of Jesus. He didn't say that. He says that at the name of Jesus. So the question is, what is the name of Jesus? You will not be able to answer that question until you see that the name refers to office. The name refers to his office, his authority. That's the meaning of name. The name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S. Is it clear? Is it clear? Because in Yoruba, it's not Jesus. In Hebrew, it's not even Jesus. It's not Jesus. In Hebrew. So the power is not in Jesus. The power is the authority that you are calling on. That is why you can get the authority to work even without mentioning Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? You can get the authority to walk. So the authority is not working because you used J-E-S-U-S when you spoke. Mm-mm. What works is your revelation of what you are calling upon. You are asking an office to act on your behalf. It is not the name Jesus. Are we together? It is the office you are placing the demand on. It says the office. So when it says he has given him a name that is above every other name, that means he has an office that is above every other what? Office. An authority that is above every other authority. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And the knees are also names. Did you see that? Did you see that? the knees are also names, because it says a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. A name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. So the knees are also names that bows at the name of Jesus. Did you see that? Can I get a response? Did you see that? So the name of Jesus is the office of Jesus. It is the office that he occupies today, and that office is one above, that office is above every other office. Are we together? He's above Muhammad's office if he has one. The name of Jesus. Maybe I'll talk about it this year. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's why he says in Mark 16, he says in 15, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe what? In my name. Those that believe in my name. So, what are we believing to be saved? The name. Definitely what you are believing is not Jesus. I believe Jesus. You are believing the person. So, name talks about the person. His weight. His glory. His capacity. That's the meaning of name. Capacity. Are we together? That's the meaning of, that's the significance of name. It means it's reputation. That's the word name. My reputation. If someone says, the person is not talking about how his name sounds. The person is talking about what people see about me. The way people think about me. My reputation. That is the name. So name is a governmental term. It's a government. It's governmental in application. The name. So when you say the name of Jesus, you are calling on him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You are placing a demand on that office. What can that office do in this situation? So when the office visits sickness, one bows. Are we together? When the office visits death, one will bow. Death will bow. When the office visits sicknesses, cancer, are we together? All forms of sicknesses. When that office invades the space, hallelujah, of the sickness is gone. That is the name of Jesus. That is why when we call the name of Jesus, people get off their wheelchairs. Because something is wrong with their bones or their tissues. And there's no strength. The muscles there are not well formed. The bones are not working. They are not working well. There's a biological defect on that spot. But when we call the name of Jesus, that name is authority over that condition. Are we together? That's why the sick get healed. That's why demons can't stay. So it says, in my name, they shall cast out devils. Because demons are territorial beings. They love to take territories. But when the name comes, are we together? It's the greater authority. So people who had mind issues can be healed. Unclean spirits that is troubling people and causes mind issues, they will leave when we use the name. Are we together? Are we together? That's the name of Jesus. So it refers to his person, his reputation, his authority, his office, the expanse and intensity of his dominion. That's his name. Demons know him. Are we together? They know him. So when you use his name, they have to do something. When you get into a territory and you use the name of Jesus with revelation as the Son of God, you have knowledge, you use the name of Jesus, things don't remain the same. Glory to God forevermore. So that is the name. So he says he had given him a name that is above every other name.
He has given him a name that is above every other name. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he shows you he has an office that lords over every other office. So that is the biblical description of the word name. So when he says that angel that goes with you, my name is in him. Did you see that? He's saying that my office, see, he will act as I will. He has my authority. As I say, don't anger him. He has the ability to judge, because God is the judge of Israel. Why would the angel come to judge? God has given him that capacity, that responsibility, that authority to judge. So it is, my name is in him. And definitely this was a special angel. We're going to talk about that later. It's a special angel. It was Jesus himself. Are we together? Yeah. So he says, my name is in him. My presence is in him. My presence is in him. My presence is in him. So look at other texts. In Psalm 20, he says, the name of what? The Psalm 20 text. Now you know you have to read. So look at Psalm 20. When you read your Bibles, you become a better Christian. Psalm 20. Glory to God. Let's read verse 1. He says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Why didn't he say the God of Jacob defend thee? Did you see that? He says the name, because the name talks about his presence, his authority. The authority of the God of Jacob. Did you see that? He says defends you. So the name couldn't be the letters. He talks about the government that somebody owns. The capacity. That's what name. The name. Are we together? So name talks about the full weight of someone. The full weight. For example, let's say the former president, former president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Now he's can't say God's will, the Lord, amen. But he's no more now. Praise God, bless his memory. So now, before he died, you know, he had stepped down from presidency, and then someone else is president now. Now, you know, when he was a president, you could go to places and do things in his name. If he sends you, he will just give you, I don't know, something that proves that he is the one who sent you. And everybody will be. As long as what he has sent you to be is within his capacity, at least anywhere in Nigeria, they will be, because he is the sitting president. Now, somebody else is now the president, and the former president sends you the same errand to be fulfilled in the capacity of a president. Will they obey you? They will not obey you. Because he is no more what? The sitting president. But if the current president now sends you the same errand that can be executed under the capacity of the president, then they will obey him. If he comes down again, somebody, do you see that? So that's the meaning of name. The name. That's what name implies. It speaks of authority, capacity. Who you are. Who you are is your name. Repetition. So look at that. He says the name of the God of Israel. He says preserve you. That is the God of Jacob, rather. The God of Jacob. So the name of the God of Jacob is the same as saying the God of Jacob, because the name is the person. The name is the person. So it speaks of the fullness, the full weight. Another word for full weight is glory. So name refers to glory. The name of Jesus refers to the glory. The glory. The name of the God of Jacob refers to his presence, his glory, his person, his capacity and authority. Are we together? In Proverbs 18 verse 10.
in Proverbs 18 verse 10. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is what? And is saved. They run into what? They run into what? The righteous runs into what? It. What is it? It. The righteous runs into what? Into what? Into the name. Did you see that? So he says the name is a strong tower. Definitely, the word tower is the word tabernacle. It's the same tabernacle that he's teaching from. So the name of the Lord, he says, it functions like a tabernacle. And he's talking from Noah, Noah's ark. He says that's it. So he says the righteous run and is saved. He gives us the imagery of how animals were kept in the ark and they were preserved from destruction. So don't forget, Solomon is teaching from Genesis. Are we together? Teaching from Genesis. So the name of the Lord is a strong tabernacle. So the name couldn't be the letters. He's talking about the presence. So the righteous runs into the name. Means that the righteous runs into the presence. Are we together? So when he says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I like the way the Yoruba translation puts it. Are we together? The name of the Lord is a strong tabernacle. He's talking about the presence of the Lord. He's strong. Hallelujah. So we say his name on the mountains, right? His name on the streets, right? He says the name of our family, isn't it? Isn't it? He says his name is power. His name is healing. His name gives what? Life. It will break every what? Strongholds. It will shine through every what? Shadows. It will burn like what? That is the name. That is the name. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is the name. That is the name of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? That's the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. That is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Someone is dying and is lifeless. That say, in the name of Jesus. Badawabi. Is it clear? In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes we've had experiences in our lives that it looks as though we called on the name, it didn't work. The name works. Is it clear? You must never lose trust in the name because of a particular experience. No! Are we together? The name is safety. Is it clear? The name is safety. Name is safety. I know. Yeah, I know now. Not that I've had. Yeah, I know somebody who was in the kidnappers then. And these kidnappers are not people that collect ransom. They were people that used people for rituals. And she had, see, as far as concerned, is gone. Because what she described, see, after you had described the whole thing, now I'm teaching her. Because even in the midst of it, she still had leftover of traumas. Today, she said one thing she never stopped saying. She said there was a phrase that she never stopped saying, in the name of Jesus. That was all. Because she said it got to a point where it was so clear that, all right, this is it. He says it was so clear that, all right, this is it. But at least, even if I don't, he said she just kept up. He says the name of Jesus. She just kept on saying she was naked. I mean, stacked naked, and they were going to just cut, and then. She just in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. She got out. She got out. Yeah, one of them just got up and said, I'm not comfortable. I said, this one, no, I'm not comfortable. This one will ruin everything. Even if we do what we want to do, and then we are able to separate you, whatever. Even when she's no more alive, all of these things that she has been saying is enough to ruin everything. I'm not doing anything. And then got out to his location, called home after days. She was using the name of Jesus. The family was using the name of Jesus. The church was using the name of Jesus. It is the name. It is the name. The name of Jesus. When you don't have another thing to say again, the name of Jesus.
You don't even have to say, if you can, fine. But if you don't, maybe you are not in that logical state to start describing what you want. See, just by saying the name of your, the name knows what you are calling on the name for. Because it's a living thing. He declared the name of Jesus. I've gotten an herbalist filled with the Holy Ghost before, spoke with tongues in the name of Jesus. Herbalist. It was one who attacked me with charm. Not that we went to, you say, you welcomed us. No, attacked me with charm. In Shasha area, Ibadan. Yeah, attacked me with charm. He now explained that what he did to me, that usually I should have turned to a ring. That's what he said. This was somebody who had eaten a whole human being before. I'm not joking. I'm not even making it up. Some of you have had some of my friends share it. Right? He said he had finished a human being before. A whole human being. He had finished it in the quest for power. But there is another name. So that was what... In the quest for power and authority, you finish a human being. You now came to demonstrate something. There is now a power that is stronger than the power you got by feasting on a whole human being. I want that power. That was how he got filled. He came to the crusade in the evening and he brought his, you know, herbalistic disciples. Herbalists. He brought the herbalists. L-E-E-S. Are we together? That is the name of Jesus. Amen. So we'll talk about that some other time. So that's what the name means. So it is the name of the Lord. He calls the name of the Lord a tabernacle. What is tabernacle? Where God dwells. So the name of the Lord is a strong tabernacle. So the name of the Lord is his presence. He dwells in the name. Because the name refers to his office. Hallelujah. The name refers to his office. So look at that. In 1 Kings 8. The name speaks of reputation, glory, person, presence. In 1 Kings 8. In 1 Kings 8, verse 27, he says, and he made 10 bases of brass, 4 cubits, was the length of one brass. Sorry, 1 Kings 8, verse 27. It is, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? 28. You yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry, it says, and the prayer which thy servant have prayed before thee today. Verse 29. That an eyes may be opened towards this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant. So where is the place where God said my name will be there? That tabernacle which they built, right? So his name refers to his presence. My presence will be there. So the name of the Lord is another phrase of saying the Lord. The Lord. The name of the Lord refers to the presence of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. Praise God forevermore. This all means to understand. He says, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord thy God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. He says 11, then shall there be a place where the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you. He's talking about the tabernacle. Again, he says he will cause his name to dwell there, which is talking about his presence, the place of worship. So his name is not the alphabet. It refers to his person. His person. So in Exodus 20 verse 7, to bear his name in vain. Did you see that? Did you see that? Will not refer to the alphabet. Did you see? You know what I'm saying? Say, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No. To bear the name in vain would mean to carry his presence, what? In vain. Did you see that? And he was instructing the nation of Israel, thou shalt not carry my presence, what? In vain. Did you see that? Thou shalt not bear my name, or take my name, or take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In Matthew 6:9, he says, hallowed be thy name. In other words, your dwelling place. Because when Jesus said, pray this way, right? He says, our Father who what? Art in heaven. Don't forget that the prayer was going to be said in the tabernacle. So when he says, hallowed be thy name, it is a statement that was expected to be made what? In the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle was where people prayed. So imagine you stand in the tabernacle and he says, hallowed be thy name. It is because you are praying in a place where his presence. Are we together? Where his presence, you know, is described, his presence is taught. Are we together? Is taught. So it is thy name, hallowed be thy name. That is, your presence is revered. Is revered. So to bear his name in vain is to say, to carry his presence in vain. Now don't forget that if you look at Genesis 1:26, don't forget that what God created Adam, right, to function in, is that what God called Israel to function in? Thank you. So if God tells Israel, don't bear my name in vain, don't take up my name in vain, definitely it's teaching from Genesis 1:26. So what will be the name of the Lord? The image of God. Are we together? Are we together? Well, let me say it in a way you will get it. To take up the name of the Lord is the same thing means that to function in the word, in the image of God. So God created humanity to take up his name. He now called Israel, are we together, to champion that. Upon the disobedience, they ruined the whole thing. He caused Israel to take his name. So Israel was going to take God's name into the nations. That's what it means to bear his name. So to take the name of the Lord, or to bear the name of the Lord, or to take up the name of the Lord, is the same as, you know, being called to function in his image. Are we together? So what does it mean by do not take up the name of the Lord your God in vain? It means to refuse to function in that identity. Did you see that? To refuse to function. What was Israel's identity? My son. The one that stands in my stead. The one that does my work. The one that represents me. My son. So he says, you shall not take up the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, telling Israel, you must function in what I called you to do. You must function in what I called you to do. You must function. So to bear his name in vain is to not function in his image. That is not me. I don't bear his name in vain. Can you see how Paul taught it? Look at Paul. Paul is such a skillful writer. I actually love Paul. I'm sure that in the resurrection, the very first people I'll look for is Paul. So I'll now go to Abraham with Paul. I'll not go to Abraham alone. I'll go to protect. I'm going to Father Abraham. Please, I know he will see some things I will not understand. Let's go together. I will see Elijah last. He might just not be in the mood. Are we together? So look at the way Paul puts it. Look at Colossians. Look at okay. Let's look at the Ephesians text. Look at the way Paul puts it. Ephesians 4. Now, you know, Ephesians 4 is connected to Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1. Glory to God forevermore.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1. Look at verse 18, everyone. Ephesians 1, verse 18. The book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 18. Once you go, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the what? Hope of his what? Calling. Is the same thing. So the hope of his calling. Are we together? Now wait. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. Now, you want to touch down on chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 9. Everyone, want to go? Uh-huh. Not a what? Uh-huh. We are created unto what? Did he? Mm-mm. He didn't say we are created by good works. Is that what it says? He says we are created unto. That means this is the purpose of the creation. Did you see that? Did you see that? You are reading Genesis 1 and 6, oh? Eh? That's what you are reading, oh? Now, look at Genesis, look at Ephesians chapter 4 now. Chapter 4. What does it now say? I beseech you, huh? Ephesians 4 verse 1. Want to go? Uh-huh. I beseech you, huh? That you do what? You walk worthy. That's what it means by to take the name of the Lord. Did you see that? To walk worthy of this what? Vocation. Wherewith you have been what? Called. Can we put it differently and say to function in his image? Thank you. Did you see that? Can we put it differently and say that not to bear the name of the Lord in vain? Thank you. Not to bear the name of the Lord in vain. Not to bear the name of the Lord in vain. And what was he talking about? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Read on. Uh-huh. Love. Do you see that? Love walk. Is that king? Is that kingly? Is that kingly? Is that kingly? Thank you. Read on. Uh-huh. 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 Verse 5. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. For every one of us is given what? Did you see that? He's not talking about graces. He's given grace according to what? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Read on. Read on. For the edifying of what? Of the body of what? Of Christ. So when you are reading ministry, don't forget that what you are reading is connected to verse 1, to walk worthy of the vocation you have been called, right? It now says ministry. It says love work. It says ministry. So the worship of God, the work of the ministry, evangelism, teaching, it says is what it means to us, to function in God's image. That's what you're reading here. When you walk in love, you are functioning in God's image. You are not bearing his name in vain. Is it clear? Is it clear? You are not taking up his name in vain. Nasar means to bear something. To carry something. You are not bearing it in vain. Getting involved in the local church. In serving in the church. You're serving in the music team or in the ushering team. Or in when you serve the Lord. Then you also serve God with your life. Hallelujah. When you're serving God with your life also, your life, You're serving God with your life. Hallelujah. I serve the Lord with my life. With my life, I serve God. When you serve God with your life, which includes the use of your resources to serve the purpose, to serve God, to push His kingdom, to establish His will and counsel in the lives of others, to know the Lord and to serve Him with your resources and your life, you are not bearing His name in vain. I don't bear the name of the Lord in vain. So that's Exodus 20 verse 7 coming to you. And we're going to see why we're looking into that text on Thursday. It's declared, church. That's Exodus 20 verse 7. So look at this. To bear the name of the Lord means to stand in His stead. To stand in His stead. I'll show you two more texts, then we close today. I will learn you something today. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll show you three texts. Okay, I'll show you four. Are we together? All right. I'll be fast with you, don't worry. Exodus 28. Quickly. So you two be fast. Exodus 28, so I won't blame you. Exodus 28, verse 29. Are you learning something? All right. I am too, thank you. Exodus 28, and then in verse 29. Look at this, the high priest. This is the dressing of the high priest now. Well, I'll probably talk about the high priest on Thursday also. You know, the high priest, that's Aaron now, in Exodus 28. And then if you read, in fact, read 36 first. Look at 36 first, verse 36. He says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it toward sanctify." I read a different text, sorry. Are we together? Exodus what? 28, 30 what? 36, alright. Thank you. It's the text I'm looking for. In 36, look at what it says. It says that thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and what? Grave on it, it says, like the engravings of a signet. What is the engravement? Holiness unto the Lord. Is the word Kodesh La Yahweh. You know, holiness unto the Lord. Actually, that statement, Kodesh La Yahweh, actually in your Strong's Word, you have Jehovah or Yehovah. You know, so it's the word Kodesh. Kodesh is used for holy or holiness. Kodesh La Yahweh. It means, that statement means belongs to Yahweh. Did you see that? Belongs to Yahweh. Belongs to Yahweh. That's the meaning of that statement. Belongs to Yahweh. Kodesh La Yahweh. It means belongs to Jehovah. Belongs to God. So it says that will be engraved. Now, why did he say you will engrave it? There's a reason for that. You will engrave it. You will engrave it. Engraving has to do with permanence. What is permanent? What cannot be changed? What should not be changed? So it says you will engrave it. It will be in the fabrics of the fabrics. It will be in the very fabrics of the garment. Are we together? It is holiness unto the Lord, which implies belongs to the Lord. So the high priest, are we together? He says, belongs to the Lord. Now, what belongs to the Lord? Is he saying that the high priest belongs to the Lord? Because now the high priest is here and he has a clothes, a writing on his vesture that it belongs to God. So, is he saying that the high priest belongs to God? Look at another verse. Look at verse 29. Quickly. Verse 29. Exodus 28, verse 29. Let us read together. Won't you go? And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of what? Judgment. Upon his what? His heart. Oh, really? When he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So did you see that? So the nations of Israel belongs to the Lord. Because on the same vesture, right about his chest plate, he says, you will write the names of the 12 tribes. That tells you, or tells you, the dual function of the priest of God, or the dual function of the high priest of Israel.
the dual function, talk about it again in the conference, you know, the dual function of the high priest of Israel is that he will function towards the people on behalf of God. Are we together? Then he will also function towards God on behalf of the people. So when he goes to God for the service, a memorial for the service, he says he's going to have on his chest plate the names of the 12 tribes. So the high priest represents me. My high priest represents me. My high priest is standing in my stead. Is it clear? That is what it means to bear the names. Is that what you read? He will bear the names of the 12 tribes on his chest. So to bear their name means to represent them. Are we together? So he represents the people. So when I bear the name of the Lord, it means I am representing the Lord. I am representing the Lord. So the high priest bears their name, their names, the names of the 12 tribes. The high priest bears the name on him because he represents them. He represents them. So what to represent is what it means to bear the name. To represent is what it means to bear the name. It's an office to bear the name. It means to have the authority or the privilege to stand on someone's behalf. That is what it means. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. In the Matthew 19 text, they came to Jesus. Then he says, the image of God. The image of God. The image of God. He said, is it lawful that a man put away his wife for every reason? And look at what Jesus said. Jesus says, let us do the image of God. Is it lawful that a man put away his wife for any reason? Jesus says, let us do what? The image of God. In other words, on that issue, what does the image of God look like? You know, Jesus already answered them, right? Right? Notice he says they came to do what? To tempt him. They knew the answer. So Jesus didn't say yes or what? No. He didn't say no, don't divorce, because it's useless giving you that kind of answer. You already know. So he gives explanation. But we already got the answer in his explanation, right? So is it lawful? Now when he says lawful, they're talking about the law. But he says, well, the law permits you, God did not. So are you after what's lawful or what God wants? Look at Malachi. I'll begin to close there. Glory to God forevermore. Look at Malachi. Now I want us to read Malachi well. Read Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 from verse 1. Malachi 2 verse 1. Let's read. Are you there? Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It's just before Matthew. Malachi. Are you at Malachi? Alright, so let's read chapter 2 from verse 1. Want to go? Keep reading. Want to go? Now, as you are reading, two things are happening. You are reading loud, but you are reading to yourself, okay? Alright, read on. Want to go? What verse are you, so I can join you now? What verse are you? Verse. Oh my. Okay, read on. So is God dealing with a backsliding Israel? A backsliding Israel, a stubborn-minded Israel. They are backsliding. So read on. Verse 6, once you go. Now look at verse 7. For the priest lives should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Lord at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. Verse 8. Also, it's a backsliding in Israel. Verse 9. Verse 10. Verse 11. Judah had dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah had profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and had married the daughter of a strange god. Verse 12. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and offering an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. And this he hath done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying, insomuch that he regarded not the offering anymore, or received it with good. Verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and wife of thy youth, against whom thou dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Now slowly read verse 15. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take it to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So marriage, look at 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hid the putting away. Wow. Read on. For one cometh violence in the garden, said the Lord of hosts, therefore take it to your spirit, and you deal not treacherously. You have weighed the Lord with your words, yet you see when have I weighed him. When you say everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and delighted in them, or where is the God of judgment? In other words, you are disobedient to my law. What did he say in 16? The God of Israel said that he hated putting away. He hates putting away. This is written clearly in their law. He hates putting away. Yet you come and say, are we wrong when we put away? And I'll say, why then did Moses permit us? He says, because you were stubborn people. You were stubborn people. Did you see that? Now, the putting away there doesn't just have to do with marriage. It talks about human relationships. So it means God prefers not to put away. Did you see that? That is his plan. That is his intention. That is his image. His image refers to his plan and his intention. The way to go forevermore. So quickly, my response to relationships must always be, does this represent God? Amen. Does this represent who? God. My response to relationships must always be, does this represent God's plan? Does this represent God's plan? And when I have options as to what to do, I must always ask myself, which one represents God? Amen. Options of decisions. Sometimes it's the decision on travel, or where to travel, or whether to travel. And you are a member of a local assembly, and there are people that you're trusting God to grow in the Lord. The image of God is the shepherd. So I have an option to go after that job, or that lifestyle, or that, you know, greener pasture,
And I have the option of staying with the flock in this village. Which one is the image of God? Are we together? Which one is the image of God in 2026? Is it to go after the greener pasture? About me? Or a life lived in sacrifice for the flock? You observe that you will not struggle with certain decisions if you know the image of God. Before me, let me close it. You will not struggle. So in 2026, let us not struggle. Is that clear, church? Let us not struggle. Let us not struggle with decisions. In 2026, let us not struggle. Talk to your neighbor, say, do not struggle. But learn what is the image of God. Tell someone else, say, do not struggle. But learn what is the plan of God. So brothers, sisters, 2026, follow the plan of God. It's not likely. Look at this. Look at this. He said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus looked at the plan of God and he responded to the temptation. Then he says, alright, jump down from here. He will give his angels charge over you. He looks at the scriptures and he acted the plan of God. Then after that, he says, bow to me. I'll give you all of these things. I'll give you all of these things. I'll give you all of these things. And then Jesus looked at the same Genesis text, the plan of God, and he responded. But look at where Luke says. Luke said, and Satan departed from him for a while. Did you know Satan came back? Satan came back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as the main spot of getting to do why he came. He overcame him again. Temptations always come back. Temptations always come back. The desire to take, to choose this, do that, go for this, go for that, it will come back. Another opportunity, it will come back. So the fact that there's an open door does not mean it is God's. So don't judge what God wants you to do by the opportunities around you. Judge what he wants to do by filling your heart with his plan. The plan of God, the knowledge of God's plan, is consistent discernment. And sometimes the pressures might be greater than they were, or it's worse, the way it was in the previous days and times. But you are going to be stronger. You're going to remain strong as you stand your ground on what is the image of God. What is the plan? In 2026, brothers and sisters, let us find out. And let us stay with. And let us believe God for the plan, for the image of God. Is it clear? Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? It's the year of his plan. In the name of Jesus. Is the season of his plan. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I stand complete in all the will of God. I stand complete in the plan of the Father. I find out that I'm yielded to what I learn as his plans and purposes. So you must find out. A response to relationships this year. Fallouts, challenges, oppositions, a response to relationships this year. Are you 70 year old, that brother and wife? Are you 70 year old? Then you get up. Are we together? Our response to
to relationships this year. Our response to challenges, circumstances, including opportunities, comes our way. Does this represent God? Choices, choices, choices. You're going to have choices this year. You're going to have choices, choices. You're going to have choices. Life comes with choices. You're going to stick. You're going to ask yourself, which one represents God? Which one represents God's intention? God's intention for me is that I'll function as a king, as a priest to serve him, as a prophet to minister his word and his plans to others. Which decision makes me to function as God's king, priest, and prophet? Which choice makes me to do what he wants? Which choice keeps me in his work? Which decision keeps me in his plan? You come across moments in the year where it seems as though there are challenges. Every year comes with challenges. Every season comes with not so good moments. You're going to learn that on worst days. Every year comes with these not so smooth, not so rosy moments. You are not going to, because a time, a period, a month, you know, a period, a season was not rosy, then you give up and abort God's plan. Not me. I would rather find greater strength in those moments. I will have wisdom to turn those moments to periods of a greater strength. And these are 2020s will go. Are we together? I'll talk more on this Thursday. I'll talk more on this on Sunday. I will have a great year. It's a great 2026. It's a season of built up relationships. A season of effective relationships in and outside the church. It's a season of strong relationships. It's a season of walking in God's plan. We have said, and I say again, that 90% or more of what God will do is attached to relationships and associations. I will be smart. I will be wise. And I will walk in wisdom. Hallelujah. Don't forget this year for our families, right? So it will also be by handling relationships well in the family area. Handling relationships well does not mean you will buckle or subject or fall at the demands. It means you have the wisdom to get God's result in every circumstance, in every situation. You have the wisdom to guide people's other rights. So like we said earlier in the morning, you must be God's spokesman, putting God's word in their faces. Hallelujah. God's fire, God's zeal, God's desire, God's plan will go beyond you, and the fire of God's plan will burn in the wombs this year. Will burn in the wombs, and men will come to do what you said, you've persuaded, you've guided them to do over the years, because it's also a season of harvest. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we must learn to put the word of God on their faces. Glory to God. Let's just lift up our hands, give God praise this morning.